wonderful, wonderful job. Psalm 99 in the Word of God tonight. Let's read these verses. It's only 9 verses. And I understand it's on the shorter side of the Psalms that we have preserved for us here in the Word of God. And you say, preacher, it's only 9 verses. It's taken you 9 years to get through this one Psalm. And I would apologize, but I'm not really sorry. I just like squeezing on these things. And I found the Psalms as we've been preaching through them these several years now. Amen. To be very, very helpful to my soul. And they've kept a song. They've kept a song going on in me. And even through a lot of hard, dark times and trials. And I think it's been the Psalms. If I had any one place I could point to from the Word of God and say that has sustained me through some of the recent trials and recent years, I believe I'd have to point the Psalms and say that's where my strength's been coming from. And so we want to deal with that again if the Lord will be our helper. If you're willing and able to do so, we invite you to stand. And we'll read Psalm 99, verses 1 through 9. And we'll give you a little bit of recap, bring you up to speed on where we are in this Psalm. And I don't know if we'll finish it. That is my goal. But it's also my goal to be done just about 7:01 tonight too. So we'll see which goal wins out. And amen. Only the Lord can tell. The Lord knoweth. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 1, the Lord reigneth. And boy, I'm glad that he does. Ain't you? The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God. Pay close attention to that phrase. Exalt ye the Lord our God. I'm going to get on that tonight if the Lord will help me. Exalt ye the Lord our God. And worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that called upon his name. I like this. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies in the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answeredst them, O Lord our God, thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. And then notice the closing verse of this psalm, verse number 9, and its comparison to verse number 5. That we tried to remind you to settle in upon. It said, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. You pray with us as we do so that the Lord would help us. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you again tonight. This afternoon, desiring mercies from your hand. Lord, we're well aware that we stand tonight where no man could ever stand and be effective in the power of his own flesh. Lord, if there's to be any eternal work done here tonight in the hearts and lives of sinner and saint alike, Lord, it'd have to be thee and thee alone that, Lord, brings these things to pass. I pray, dear God, you not leave us to ourselves here tonight as the messenger of God, but may the power of God shine through. May the word of God have its effect, Lord, in every heart and in every life. And then, Lord, these that have made their way out again tonight, Lord, with the desire and the purpose in mind to get a word from God, I pray that you'd give them an ear to hear and an open heart to receive the things that you'll give to us tonight. Lord, I pray we'd be exhorted and encouraged, we'd be challenged, and ultimately through the Word of God and the Holy Ghost be changed, Lord, in these days in which we're living and for all that you do. Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Psalm 99 is likely, we have said to you several services now, another prophetical Psalm of David. And it no doubt, as we read it to you, all nine verses in its entirety, I don't think it's hard to see that it is prophetical in the sense that it is describing the Lord Jesus in His coming earthly kingdom. And there is coming a time and a day coming, I believe soon, amen, that the rapture is going to happen. The church will be brought out, the tribulation period will be ushered in. But 7 years after we, the believers, have been taken out, Jesus is coming again. And He's coming to set up an earthly kingdom, a time known as millennial reign of Christ. And this psalm, as well as several of the psalms previous to this one, are exhorting or exalting that time in which Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem and a little reign upon the earth. As we read this psalm, we understand that it is emphatic. In fact, there's a threefold emphatic statements that are made about the holiness of God. And he said in verse number 3, "Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it," his name, "is holy." And then he said in verse number 5, "For he," just simply saying and describing the character of our God, "for he is holy." And then the psalm closes with this same emphatic statement being made, "For the Lord our God is holy." And so there's a threefold declaration that we have a holy God. His name is holy, and He is holy, and He is holy. Amen, and thank God for it. That's why Spurgeon called this psalm the sanctest psalm. It is sanctified by exalting the holiness of our Savior. Amen. And so we find that He's holy in His ruling, verses 1 through 3, in His judgment, verses 4 and 5. And ultimately, the Lord is holy in all His workings, verses 6 through 9. One preacher said that he viewed this psalm describing Christ as the Lord who is to come, verses 1 through 3, and the Lord who is, verses 4 and 5, and then verses 6 through 9, if we ever get there, amen, describe the Lord who was. Amen. And when we think about the one who was and is to come, there's only one who can live up to this psalm, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The one who was and is to come. Amen. And so Jesus leaps from every word and every verse and every line. Amen. He's found in every punctuation mark. Jesus is the theme of Psalm 99. Now, Psalm 99 is the last in this special section of Psalms that had seemed particularly dedicated to the Lordship of Christ. You begin in Psalm 93. The Hebrews had that marked out all the way through Psalm 99 as a theme of magnifying the King. Amen. And the King ought to be magnified. The Lord, our King, our God, should be magnified. And it is magnifying the Lordship, amen, of Christ. Now, it is this psalm is the last of three that are found in that section of the Psalms that begins with the phrase, "The Lord reigneth." And Psalm 93, this section of Psalms, the Hebrews had kind of marked out some of their favorite Psalms that had just struck on this same thing. Amen. It all begins by the declaration, "The Lord reigneth." And from Psalm 93 to the end of Psalm 96, you'll find that David is speaking of things that he is going through. He's going to speak about and write about and sing about troubles and trials and waves and storms, adversities and battles that have come in his life. Amen. But before he ever settles in on the things that have come his way, amen, he reminds himself and those of us, amen, that the Lord is on the throne. The Lord reigneth. Amen. He goes through describing all of these things. And he comes to Psalm 97 in verse number 1. And we find our second in these section of Psalms that begins again. The Lord reigneth. Amen. And so He calls upon the world to rejoice and the earth to be glad. Amen. He speaks, my friend, that in these times, in Psalm 97 and 98, amen, that the heathen are raging upon every side. Amen. That evil seems to be out of hand. That the redeemed of the Lord, because He reigns, they ought to be, amen, loving the Lord and hating the evil that is at hand and at every turn and in every corner in society. Amen. And He's reminding Himself yet again, the Lord is on the throne. Amen. And may I say, in the wicked days we're living in, no matter what we're going through personally, amen, however good or bad that may be, we are living in a wicked day. Amen. And it doesn't matter what's going on in our society. Amen. The fact of the matter is, the Lord reigneth. Doesn't matter what the heathens do. It doesn't matter what the abortionists think. Amen. It doesn't matter how the sodomites jump up and down and scream and promote their perversions. It doesn't matter, my friend, the drunkenness. It seems to be out of control. And all sanity and all decency and all morality, amen, seems to be, my friend, at an all-time high. Amen. None of that changes the fact that the Lord reigneth. Amen. Ain't you glad the Lord reigns tonight? And so we come to the very last psalm of this particular section. Amen. Psalm 99. And David says one more time, as if it were the first time, and beginning this section with it was not enough, and reminding himself halfway through that the Lord reigneth is not enough. Amen. He says, I want to say one more time, I want to remind you again, amen, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Amen. It is as though David wants us to be reminded and wants us to bring it into view, amen, that the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. No matter what we've been through and what's going on all around us, amen, the Lord still reigns. The Lord reigneth. He's still on the throne. And so we've been preaching Psalm 99. Amen. With that thought in mind, the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what is going on in society and in the land and the generation in which we live, amen, this one thing is changeless and unchanging. This one thing never wobbles on the axle. Amen. And that is, the Lord is still on the throne. He's still on the throne tonight. Amen. You say, well, what does that mean? That means He's still calling the shots. Amen. That means that, my friend, He still has a grip on everything. Amen. It means that He's not worried about one little thing that, amen, the world and the wicked ones that are in the world have been pawns in His hand to bring about. Amen. His desired end and His ways. And my friend, the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. I'm glad tonight Biden ain't on the throne. And I'm thankful the Republicans are not on the throne. I'm glad tonight that, my friend, the world leaders in the G7, amen, all the different names they have for their different organizations, amen, there is yet but one who still reigns tonight. Amen. And when things seem like they're beyond my control and your control, and that, my friend, we just seem to be, amen, reeds shaking in the wind, amen, just to seem to be foam rolling upon the water. Amen. I'm glad we find in the pages of the Word of God a simple, mind-blowing, settling, peaceful truth, amen, that the Lord reigneth tonight. The Lord is still on the throne. Amen. Oh, what a blessed thought that is. And so we're studying this psalm in light of that. The Lord is still on the throne, studying, amen, the revelations we find in this psalm that, and so our relationship to the Lordship of Christ. I'm glad tonight He is Lord. I'm glad tonight He's on the throne. And I'm glad tonight, amen, that is settled fact and that is not in jeopardy at all this evening. Amen. Number one, we said, and we drew your attention in verses 1 through 3, the perception of His Lordship, the perception of His Lordship. This psalm begins with this declaration for people to turn to heaven and to see that the Lord is still upon His throne. Amen. The declaration is simple. The Lord reigneth. I kind of see in my mind the psalmist David trying to beckon people to say, amen, look over yonder, the Lord reigneth. Amen. Oh, it may not look like it around us, and it may not feel like it around us. It may not seem like it when things hit batter and beat against our vessel and our ship. Amen. But I see David standing there, and he's pointing to glory as though to say, open your eyes and take it in. And look beyond this veil, and don't have a horizontal view, but have a heavenly view that will remind you the Lord is still on the throne. And so there is a matter that there must be a perception of His Lordship. Our eyes must be open. Our faith, by faith, we must see, amen, the Lordship of Christ in work in our life and in our church and our families and our world in which we live. Amen. And we noted that this perception should do three things in these verses. Amen. Number one, when you really truly perceive His Lordship, amen, and you really see tonight the Lord is still on the throne in your life, amen, it should stir us. Verse number one, and we are called to tremble, and we are called, my friend, for the earth to be moved. Amen. Literally meaning to excite into action and from a state of rest. Amen. David is saying the Lord reigneth. Somebody ought to get excited about that. Amen. The Lord's still on the throne. Somebody ought to get stirred about that. Amen. You know, you want to get stirred spiritually tonight. Amen. You have to look beyond the pale of this world. Amen. Do you need moved spiritually tonight? Amen. Do you need provoked? Do you need aroused? Amen. Do you need excited tonight? Amen. You're not going to find much excitement listening to what's coming out of the White House press conferences. Amen. You won't find much to be excited about. Amen. In the political realms in which, amen, the tides are rolling in our day. Amen. But I ain't looking to that. I ain't ever looked to that to stir me. Amen. I simply look to glory land. Amen. And there the Lord is still reigning. And if we could ever see that tonight, amen, it would bless us, it would excite us, and it would stir us. Amen. This thought should stir us. And then we said it should size us. Amen. In verse 2, he said, the Lord is great. Amen. David's not great. Amen. Even Zion is not great, and it's not Jerusalem that he magnifies. Amen. But simply, the Lord is great. Amen. In Zion, he is high above all people. In other words now, amen, David is saying a proper perception of the Lord's greatness will result in the right perception of ourselves as small. Amen. It is the Lord that is great, not I. Amen. It is the Lord that is big, and I that am small. Amen. It is the Lord that's still on the throne. Amen. I simply take my place at His feet. Amen. Humbled by the thought that such a God, amen, would let me enter into the blessings of His Lordship. Amen. There's too many big I's and little U's in the church in this day. Amen. And that is evidence to me that, amen, we don't have a proper perception of the greatness and the Lordship of our God. Amen. You want to knock all the spiritual pride and stuffing out of you. Amen. Look to heaven and see who's really got a hold of this thing. Amen. And we preached on that, and a lot I could say again and more I could add to it, but we'll move on. It should summon us. Amen. The perception of His Lordship, it should summon us. In verse number 3, let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. And so we find David said, if you could ever open your eyes and see, amen, you will find when you really truly see the Lord is still on the throne, amen, it will summon you to praise and worship worship His name. Amen. So much little praise going on in our day. Amen. Why is that? Why is it we drag our trunks out? Amen. Why is it when a testimony is called forward? Amen. We hear crickets and amen. We hear gnats burping and mice running through the carpet. Amen. Why is that? It's because we don't have a perception. Amen. Of the fact the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. His lordship is as great and powerful as it's always been. Amen. And oh, when we really see that, amen, you won't have to have your favorite song being sung by your favorite group and your favorite beat, amen, in your favorite key in order for you to get excited, amen, to raise your hand. Oh, no, friend, amen. Oh, I'm telling you, if we can see the Lord still on the throne, it would summon us. Amen. Somebody ought to praise His blessed name tonight. And so there is the perception of His lordship. In verse number 4, quickly, I won't re-preach all this. I bog down every time. Amen. But there's the perfection of His lordship. Amen. Not only the perception, but the perfection. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 4, the king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou doest establish, secondly, thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. All of this verse is predicated on the close of verse number 3, where it ended, declaring the name of the Lord to be holy. That is His name, His testimony, everything about Him. And what is known about Him, it is perfect, it is holy, and it is right. Amen. And so verse number 4 is an extension of that declaration. Amen. Of the perfection of His lordship. Amen. We sing the perfection of His word in verse number 4. Amen. And the two times the word judgment is used, that is being used in that vein of thinking, that amen is revealing the verdicts that God has revealed to mankind through His written word. Amen. And everything He's ever pinned down, it is perfect. Amen. Because our Lord is perfect. Amen. His word is perfect. The perfection of His waiting. How does establish equity? Amen. That word equity means the righting of injustices and wrongdoings. Amen. That's not our job. That belongs to the Lord. Amen. And we're in a waiting time in which, my friend, He will perfectly, amen, establish equity and right every wrongdoing that has ever been. And then there's the perfection of His working in the word righteousness. Amen. That David magnifies. This is the description and lets us know that whatever God does in our life, it is right. Amen. God will never do us wrong, never has, never will. Somebody say amen. Amen. How do you know that, preacher? Because He's still on the throne and He rules and reigns perfectly tonight. Amen. Nothing has touched my life, amen, that was not screened through His sovereignty and His lordship, and He did not allow to touch my life. And I rest assured that His workings are perfect in my life. Now we come to point number 3, and I want to say a word tonight. Amen. I can tell we're not going to get done with the message. Amen. But that'll be all right. I see the, amen, not only the perception and the perfection, but notice with me as I drew your attention to verse number 5 and verse number 9. And I want to say a word tonight, if the Lord will help us, about the preeminence of His lordship. The preeminence of His lordship. Now David makes a statement in verse 5 and in verse number 9. Amen. That in light of the fact that we have now seen and perceived He's on the throne, and in light of having seen that, we know that He is perfect. Then, my friend, we are to allow Him to be exalted in our life. That is, amen, we've got to go beyond the doctrinal profession or confession of just saying He's on the throne. And we've got to give way to that truth in our life, amen, and allow the Lord to be exalted in and by us. And so the command that David gives, amen, y'all, I've been telling y'all a lot lately, buckle your seatbelt. Some of y'all wondering when you can take it off. Amen, maybe here in a little while, but amen, buckle your seatbelt for a minute. This word exalt, amen, exalt the Lord our God. This word exalt literally means to be or to make high. It means to lift up. In other words, it is our responsibility. Amen. You say, but preacher, the Lord reigneth. He's already on the throne. But David is bringing this to a very personal level. Amen. And I think David is saying it is your job as the people of God. Amen. To make big and make high and to lift high and elevate and to lift up. Amen. The Lordship of Christ in your life that everybody else can see. Exalt the Lord our God. I found it interesting, this word, Brother Jack, this word exalt, amen, it not only has the meaning to be or to make high, to lift up, but it describes the idea of something that is growing. Something that amen, is a certain size now, but it's not staying a certain size. It's not staying in a certain condition. It's not reached its full potential and maxed out everything you can get out of it, but it's growing and growing and growing. Amen. 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 So let me ask you a question tonight. Amen. Let me settle down so we can get this truth across. How long has it been since His Lordship has grown in our lives? How long? Now we read these verses, exalt the Lord our God. And amen, man, just reading that makes us want to, amen, jump up on our feet and wave our hand in the air and pitch babies and run laps around the building. Exalt the Lord our God. That's in order. But when's the last time it was in more than a shout? When is the last time it was more in, amen, had more to do with, amen, Him growing big in you, not some religious display we could do on the outside? David is saying, amen, we need, if He is reigning, and He is reigning, if He's on the throne, and you can view that and perceive that, and we know He's perfect, in His Lordship, then somebody, amen, needs to allow the Lord to have the preeminence in their life. Amen. I believe most of the problems that take place in our life and going on in our generation, they are issues that can be traced back to not allowing the Lord to have preeminence in our life. Amen. I thought about this in answer to the question, how long has it been since His Lordship has grown in us? Think about this. Amen. That stops growing when He no longer is the preeminent thing in our life. Amen. So long as we're exalting ball and we're exalting family and we're exalting problems and we're exalting jobs and paychecks and so long as we're exalting ourselves, it ain't no wonder the Lord can't be preeminent in our life and that He's not growing within us and being lifted and magnified for everybody else to see. Amen, amen, amen. We need a revival tonight. Amen, wherein Christ is restored. Amen, in our lives as the preeminent one. Amen, the one that the Father has declared as head of the church. Amen, you're not the head of this thing yet. Amen, I'm not the head of this thing yet. Amen, the fact is the one who's on the throne is to be able to have the preeminence among us. Amen. It's amazing the things that we exalt. It's amazing the things we focus on. It's amazing the things we allow to grow big in our hearts and our thoughts and in our attention and in our families. And all the while, my friend, we are exalting and lifting high and allowing the wrong things to grow. Amen. And the Lord is indeed reigning and still on the throne. Amen. And what blessings are we missing out on tonight? Amen. Because we're not allowing the Lord to grow in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Can I say this tonight? Amen. I did my mean preaching this morning. I don't want to be mean tonight. Amen. But can I tell all of us, I'm putting myself in the same boat, Brother Larry. Amen. I make dumb, foolish, stupid decisions when I'm not allowing Christ to be the preeminent one in my life. When I'm just winging it and running on emotion and running on feelings and running on this and that instead of looking to God and saying, amen, you're Lord and you're everything and I'm nothing and you're great and I'm small and you're strong but I'm weak and I can't make it without you. I need you to be exalted in my life. I need you to be the preeminent thing in my life. Oh, it's amazing when you ever get there. Amen. It doesn't matter who walks off and leaves. It doesn't matter. Amen. What's going on in your life? It doesn't matter. Amen. How good or bad it is, you can rest in the fact that the Lord is the one calling the shots and He's the preeminent thing in your life. Amen. The preeminence of His Lordship. Let me give you three areas. Amen. The first one now, it's going to be real hard not to get a little bit, break out some gunpowder, all right? Number one, consider this. Amen. The preeminence of His Lordship should be seen in society.
Amen.
Look in the verse there. Exalt the Lord our God and worship where? At His footstool. At His footstool. Amen. Let me run some references down with you quickly this evening. Look with me. Hold your place there in Psalm 99. Amen. I hope I wrote this down right. Isaiah chapter number 66. Isaiah in the last chapter. Isaiah 66. And notice with me in verse number 1 where Isaiah speaking on behalf of the Lord said, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." The earth is my footstool. In Matthew chapter number 5, if you want to look there this evening with me as well, Matthew chapter number 5 and in verse number 35. Matthew 5, verse number 35. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. And the Bible said, amen, in verse number 34, "But I say, you swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is His footstool." Amen. And so we find the Word of God, and we go to other places, amen, in the Word of God, that makes the connection that at the footstool, His footstool deals with the earth. Amen. The earth at large. Heaven is His throne. The earth is His footstool. Amen. Reference. Amen. To, now listen now. It is a reference. Amen. To the governmental systems in the world. And I say tonight in society, amen, the Lord Jesus ought to be able to have the preeminence. Amen, this thing is His footstool. Amen, it's what He merely props His feet up upon. And yet society tonight has no room, just like they did 2,000 years ago. And they reject Him all the same, all these many years later. Amen, the one that came and bled and died and rose again and ever lives in ascension. Amen, in the right hand of the Father is the one. Amen, that they have rejected tonight. Amen, is it no wonder we have the problems we have in our world? Somebody said the answer to all the violence and the shootings and all that is going on among our young folk and the violence and hatred and rebellion. They want to take guns away. They want to implement programs. They want to do this and that. And I just shake my head as a Bible-believing child of God, amen, and say, what in the world are they thinking? Amen, if they let the Lord back in the schoolhouse, amen, make them young and stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance, amen, bring a leather lung, amen, a leather lung, sweating, stomping, devil-hating Bible preacher in, amen, to preach to them a few days every week, amen, and magnify the Lord and let Him be the preeminent one. We'd be amazed how America would straighten up. Back in the 1950s, teacher said the number one problem in the classroom was children chewing gum. How have we gotten to the place where we are? I know this ain't popular. I know there's a bunch of ACLU liberal snot faces in our day hugging trees tonight. Amen. Saying separation church and state. Separation church and state. Amen. Them bunch of dingbat women on the fight. Amen. I heard some, amen, little clip on another show. Amen. They're saying about the rulings of the Supreme Court. Amen. The last 2 weeks. Said, amen. They said all the Republicans, they have led us, they have led America into a theocracy. Amen. You know how dumb you got to be to believe that. Here's what they said. They said, ain't it? It's in the Constitution. It's in the Constitution. Separation of church and state. It's in the Constitution. It ain't nowhere in the Constitution. Bunch of dingbats talking to, amen, a bunch of other dingbats, amen, sitting around all day listening to that trash, amen. Oh, buddy, I thought when they said we become a theocracy, amen, in my mind, I look around in America today, hey, Brother Mike, we're not no theocracy, amen, but he's coming today. Jesus is coming again. He's coming with a lot of air. Amen, and whoopee and joy. Amen, and sunny, bless their liberal bleeding heart. Amen, they ain't seen nothing yet. They ain't seen nothing yet. If you don't like how the Supreme Court ruled this week, amen, they gonna have a real hard time when Jesus has the preeminence. Somebody say amen. Amen. All the abortion and the murder of 64, 65 million babies in the last 50 years. What is that? Amen. It is a sign that America, amen, has not allowed Jesus Christ to be the preeminent thing. Somebody ought to take a lap. Amen. If I wasn't so wore out and tired from this morning, I'd preach and run all at the same time. He ought to have preeminence in society. Amen. You'd be amazed how many folks sitting in churches are sitting around scratching their head and are torn about some of the issues going on in our day. Amen. I'm not saying everybody's got to be a Christian to live in America. That ain't what I'm preaching. Christians and Bible believers have always believed in the soul liberty that God has given to every individual He's ever given life to. But it is government's job. It is absolutely government's job. Amen. To hold high the values of the Lord of this book. Amen. That's what keeps boundaries up. That, amen. That is what our nation needs. That's what the generation coming on the scene. I mean, they're so messed up, man. They don't even know, amen, the difference between a male and a female. How do you get to that place? Amen. Somewhere, somebody dropped the ball. There was a generation, amen, that left undone the preeminence of Jesus' Lordship. Amen. Amen. Ain't we having fun? Preeminence in society. Amen. You say, and I don't know how you could hear me preach, amen, over the last, amen, little while, come to any other conclusion or, amen, be in the dark about it and say, preacher, you act like you happy about some of these decisions the Supreme Court's made? You better believe I am. Amen. If for nothing else, just to see a bunch of liberals run around whining and losing their minds, been joy to my heart. Bunch of antichrists. That's all it is. These women screaming and, amen, screaming and marching up and down the road and acting in vile ways. That is nothing more than the spirit of antichrist.
That's right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. America needs to allow Jesus to be preeminent again. Amen. This nation was founded on Him. Brother Tim read it in Sunday school this morning and magnified, amen, the laws of nature and of nature's God. There are some things the founding fathers of this country understood. They weren't perfect men. They didn't have everything right. Amen. And even they even knew some of those things. And if Tim would get back, amen, to where he was ended at this morning, you'll see some of that next week. Amen. Friend, they knew even in the structure of what they were doing that all of that was not necessarily even the way that they wanted it to be. But they put mechanisms in place and magnified the Savior and the Lord and nature's God. Amen. They did that because they knew so long as this society and our nation would honor God, that in the end everything would be straightened out. There are things that in our founding wasn't necessarily right, but we've made a lot of things right. Somebody say, man, how'd we do that? We didn't do it through political will. We didn't do it through, amen, we didn't do it through, amen, intellect and experiments, but through the way, amen, we had a founding in our society, amen, whereby Christ can be the Lord and lead our nation in a way that is right. It's about time America gets back to it. We need you young folk. I know we ain't got but a handful. We're going to have, amen, we're going to have probably 150 here, amen, every day next or Monday through Wednesday, week after next. Amen. And that ain't many, but we need every young person. We need mamas and daddies, and we need family members that, amen, will quit being ashamed of Christ. Quit being ashamed of the Lord. You say, reach down and say, you're never damn sorry, hell-deserving soul. Amen. And my friend, arise and declare Him to be Lord and let Him be exalted in our life. How's He going to be exalted in society if He's not exalted in our lives?
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of Him.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to speak for Him. I'm not ashamed to stand for Him. If you're born again and a child of God, you have no cause or reason to hang your head in this world. The world's tried to beat us down. Amen. I know I done messed up this message, Brother Mike, but it's all right. Amen. This world's beat us down and stomped on us. Amen. Called us all sorts of things. Amen. God's people seem to be reclusive in this hour. Amen. But if you're saved tonight, you're a child of the King. Amen. You belong to the One who's still on the throne. Amen. You belong to the One in control of it all. Arise, child of God. Arise and exalt Him in your life. Amen. And don't hang your head and be ashamed of who you belong to. Live for Him and do right in His eyes. Amen. Walk in His word. Walk in His ways. Raise the standard. Raise His righteousness in your life. Amen. And we'd be amazed how He could have preeminence again in society. Amen. I feel like preaching now. Amen. I tell you the problem with, amen, society, it's the next point. Amen. Not only is he to be, amen, have preeminence in society, but he's to have preeminence in the sanctuary. I don't have time. We won't take the time. You write these verses and references down. 1 Chronicles 28:2. Isaiah again, chapter 60, verse 13. Lamentation chapter 2 and in verse number 1, here's what you find. There's another connotation to worship at His footstool. The footstool in the Word of God is also or can be a reference to Jerusalem in particular. And beyond that, the ark that dwelt in the sanctuary of God. The sanctuary. Worship, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Amen. Again, making the connection to the sanctuary. Oh, if He ought to be exalted anywhere, if He ought to be growing anywhere, if He ought to be being lifted up anywhere, would we not agree it ought to be in His house? It ought to be in the sanctuary. Amen. But the average church in our day has watered Him down. They've taken the One who reigns and they've made Him like unto ourselves. Amen. We have replaced His Lordship for, amen, contemporary movements and different ways of doing things outside of the scope of His Lordship and His Word and His ways. And it ain't no wonder society's in the shape it's in. Amen. Boy, He ought to have preeminence in the sanctuary. You say, preacher, I don't like this in the church, and I don't like that in the church, and I don't like you in the church. Amen. Well, amen. Y'all want some good wisdom about how to deal with that? Get over it. Just get over it. Because it ain't about you and it ain't about me. He's to have the preeminence in the church. Amen. Well, ain't we a democracy? No, we're not a democracy. We've got the Lord as our head and the Holy Ghost as our guide, and that's all we need. If you're saved, get in His Word, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and seek His face, you'll know what His will is for your life. And we'll all come into unity of the faith as we submit ourselves one by one to the preeminence of His Lordship. The answer and the solution to every church problem is let Jesus be preeminent. Can I say that again? And we don't have, far as I know, we don't have any trouble around here tonight. And I'm thankful. So this is education. This is for down the road when there is. The answer to every church problem and division is simply this. Yield yourself to the preeminence of Jesus. Churches are being destroyed from within, divided and splitting, and bitterness is arising because, amen, people will not let Him have the preeminence. We want our way. We want it the way we want it. We're going to force ourselves and the way that we think about things all the while. Amen, we leave Him, amen, as a small thing in our life and in the sanctuary and wonder why we've lost the joy of the house of God. The joy of the house of God ain't because you showed up tonight. The joy of the house of God is not, amen, because you got all your little buds with you around here tonight. The joy, the true joy of the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You know what it is? Amen. It's when that church yields herself and bows herself down and allows Jesus to be Lord and allows Him to grow and Him to control the house of God.
Amen.
That's when, because you can get all that other stuff in a club. You can get all that other junk. Amen. I don't mean junk. You understand what I mean. You can get all that other stuff. Get all that other stuff. You can run down here and find you some club to join and you'll have all that other stuff. Church ain't about all that stuff. You know what church is about? Jesus being Lord. Having a place we can come and gather and bow ourselves and say, He alone is Lord. Exalt the Lord our God. In society, in the sanctuary, amen. Boy, I'm 9 minutes over where I wanted to be. He ought to be preeminent in the secret place. Look what verse number 9 says. Now verse 5 said, worship at His footstool for He is holy. David goes beyond this realm of society and the sanctuary. When he brings this psalm to close, he says again, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill. His holy hill. Amen. Not just his footstool. Amen. But his holy hill, which is a reference. Amen. To his throne of grace in heaven. And it's accessible to God's children, all of God's children. Amen. By prayer. Does Jesus have the preeminence in your secret life? One of the best ways to gauge that is to look at your public life. Look at your family life. Look at the relationships that are around you. And if Jesus is not preeminent, everybody listen to what I'm getting ready to say. If Jesus is not preeminent in that, He is not preeminent in your secret life. Do you ever pray? Do you ever call upon His name? Do you ever, my friend, by faith and in the spiritual sense, leave the realm of this dimension and enter into the holy place, enter into the holy hill? Amen. You understand the Psalms speak about a holy God in a holy city that lives on a holy hill and dwells upon a holy throne. Amen. And I'm telling you, there is a holy throne of grace. Amen. Whereby we have access. Amen. We have access. I tell you why. Amen. We're not accessing it tonight. Amen. We're not willing to let Him have the preeminence in our life. When He has the preeminence, you're leaning on Him. When He has the preeminence, you're seeking His face, you're praying, you're talking to Him about what you're going through. Amen. And not only are you talking to Him, He's talking to you. Amen. The secret place, what a special, special place the holy hill of God is. People will text me and say, "Preacher, will you pray about this?" People ask me, probably coming out of the church tonight, "Help me pray about," and they'll give me a list, and I'm honored to do that. A lot of times I'll text them back and say, "I'll meet you at the throne of grace. I'll meet you at the throne of grace." You know what that statement means? That means I've got access to the holy hill, and you have access to the holy hill. Praise God. There ain't nothing in this world like getting away, amen, from all the cares and the burdens and putting all the problems on pause for just a moment. Amen. And to be able, my friend, to leave this dimension and this realm of burdens and weights and battles and afflictions and oppressions. Amen. To enter that spiritual dimension whereby our burdens and our cares are laid down at His feet. And we yield ourselves to His preeminence, of His will, of His lordship to be done in our life. Amen. And when that is done, we come off the holy hill. We come out of the sacred place willing to accept the fact that our God is in control of our life.
Yes, sir.
Tonight there are things that going on in families, including mine. There are things going on in the lives of God's people tonight, including mine, that if we could somehow physically show the weight of that, it would crush us. How do you deal with all that? Brother Daniel, you simply have to make it to the holy hill of God and let Him have preeminence in the secret place. Ain't no wonder the church is in the shape she's in. It's the last time you spent a good season at the holy hill. You've told everybody else about all your problems. Amen. I ain't trying to be mean tonight. Amen. But you've whined and grumbled and complained. And, amen. About how bad it is. When's the last time you made it to the holy hill and said, "Lord, I'm done talking about this with everybody else"? I'm not saying, don't you go out of here and say, "I know when I preach like this, folk twist things." I'm not saying we're not supposed to share our burdens with each other. But shame on us if we share them with everybody else. We never share them with Him. Never let Him have the preeminence in the secret place. Because I may think I'm not telling you I do. I don't have anybody in mind. But if you shared with me tonight what you're going through, I may think that ain't really that big of a deal. But you know, I've never gone the holy hill and allow Him to have the preeminence in that secret place and Him ever laugh at me, mock me, say, I ain't got time for this. Amen. I'm not interested. He has always welcomed me at the throne of grace when I've been willing to let Him have the preeminence in the secret place. You may bring your stuff to me and I may say, man, you got exactly what you asked for. You say, surely you ain't that cruel. Hey, I'm not no more sanctified than you are. Sometimes we see folk in the shape they're in and it's their fault. In some ways in our mind we think, well, you got what you asked for. What'd you expect? You know, I've never been the holy hill of God and bore my heart to the Lord and Him ever say, well, that's what you get. He's always been full of grace. He's always been full of compassion. He's always been there. In a way that you know He knows that you've done it to yourself and yet empathizes and cares enough to help you try to put the pieces back together. When's the last time that grew in your life? When's the last time that grew in your life? Preacher, my problems, they're growing. They're growing so big. They're getting out of hand. I can't even get my arms around them. What you need to do is let Jesus have preeminence. Because He's bigger than any problem you have. He's bigger than any issue in society. He's bigger than any problem this church could ever go through. Somebody's got to exalt the Lord our God. Well, we didn't make it to verses 6 through 8, did we? Amen. You say, preacher, we knew you wasn't going to. Amen. Well, I tried. Amen. As we get ready to leave tonight, I want you to remember the Lord is still on the throne. Amen.